estallar, porque no sé
Good morning and welcome to the service of remembrance and thanksgiving for the life of Greta Dutton, whose life's journey of 88 years came to its conclusion last Wednesday. Now, after this service, you're warmly invited to share in refreshments in the lounge behind this chapel, when there will be plenty of time to talk with friends and with Greta's family. And while on the practical matters, please ensure that all cell phones, pagers and any other thing that might make an intrusive noise is switched off for the duration of the service. Thank you. Well, today you who have gathered here have stepped away from whatever you would otherwise be doing at this time to be united in this common bond of respect and affection for Greta and her family, to say thanks for and to celebrate her life and to express a final farewell to she who was much loved by her late husband Roy, also by Lee and Vivian, Charlotte and Logan, by Sally and Nick, Ross and Jen, Anna and Tony, Sue and Bruce, and by her wide circle of friends and extended family. Because of distance, some of these family members are unable to be present today, and we remember them especially at this time. So we've been brought together today in this place by Greta's death in order to remember and celebrate her life. And she was connected to each one of you in this life in one of the roles that I've mentioned. She was a mother, a grandmother, a sister, a friend, an aunt. And you all have your own personal memories of her and your treasures gained from knowing her. Your individual relationship was unique to you and to her alone. And we trust that through the words and actions of this service, you will be able to give thanks and to say farewell to she whom you have known and loved and respected. For while we may sometimes think, as age and illness takes its toll on senior family members, that we are prepared for death, which comes to all of us sooner or later, no one can prepare us for the sense of loss when it does take someone from us. Life will not and cannot be the same. There will forever be a gap in the family circle of friends which can never be filled by any other person. In our daily life, people go away from us for all sorts of reasons, but we know that sooner or later they will return, they will be in touch with us from wherever they are, and we will know what they're doing, what they're about. But death is not like that, it really is final. So over the years, we, like every other society throughout history, have developed our services and our rituals to mark the passing of someone, to celebrate their life, to say thanks for what they have been to us and for what they have given to us, and to share in a fitting farewell. A wise person once said this of death: death is as natural as life. It's natural to die, it's part of nature. We think because we're human we are above nature. We're not. Everything that gets born dies. But there is a payoff. As long as we can love one another and remember the feelings of love we have had, we can die without ever really going away. All the love she created is still there. All the memories are still there. And she lives on in the hearts of everyone she has touched and nurtured while she was here. Death ends a life, not a relationship. Somewhere and some time in Greta's past, the hymn, the day thou gavest, Lord, is ended, impressed itself upon her. It's a hymn we often used to sing in evening services in churches, and its theme can speak to us at a service such as this. Greta asked that it be sung at her funeral, and so we'll join in doing that now. So we shall stand to sing, The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, is Ended, once the organist is in position and gives us the note. So thank you for Joan. Lee has prepared his tribute to his mother, and we invite him to share that with us now.
Mom and Sally were recently discussing this service and what we here today would say. Mum's comment to her was, "Oh, I haven't done anything to reflect on. I hope here to indicate otherwise." In our memory of Mum, she has been a daughter, a sister, a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and a friend, and be known variously as Greta, Auntie Greta, Grandy, and Mum. Greta's life began when she was born in Wellington in 1919 to Charles and Mary Hanning, and brought up along with her brother Gary and sister Faye. Exhibiting early signs of independence, Greta left home in her late teens to go boarding, not like many these days, mine included, who are staying home much longer. During this period, Greta quickly established herself as an able secretary and shorthand typist. And much later, Sally and I would often find notes around the house with a shorthand code that we struggled to decipher. Mum worked for several firms in Wellington, including A&T Burt and the Dairy Board, where she was to stand in as personal secretary to the chairman. It was soon after leaving home at 17 that she met who was to become her longest-serving friend, Joan Bunkenberg. Joan was Mum's bridesmaid, and many of you will know that they telephoned each other every single day in recent years to keep in touch and to compare progress in completing the codebreaker and the crossword. Joan passed away just 6 weeks ago. In the early 50s, Greta met Roy, and after a period of courtship, they were married in 1952. And it was during this courtship that Roy proudly introduced Greta to one of his oldest family friends and his wife, Joan. In my early 20s, I met and fell in love with Joan's daughter, Vivian. And Joan has been my mother-in-law now for almost 30 years. Excuse me. Mum and Dad together designed and had built their own house in Ramity South and established a very comfortable, loving and supportive home for Sally and I to be brought up in. And it was while building their house there that they became friends with Ron and Beryl. With Dad experiencing 9 or 10 different schools in his early school years, he and Mum determined that Sally and I would not experience such changes and provided us a stable school life and every opportunity for as much education as we wanted. Sally and I thank you, Mum. Greta became a great sounding board for and confidant to Roy during his years as sports administrator and provided perceptive counsel during often turbulent times. Mum has said to us she was nervous about being a good mother. But with help from friends, the local Plunkett rooms, and perhaps more importantly, her own intuition, we believe she excelled at it. Greta was an active participant in the Rotary Wives Network after the local club was established. I think it was in the late 50s. She also took an active part in the Kapiti Players Drama Group, which flourished in the 60s. And after being supportive of Dad with his sports administrative activities for so long, Mum branched out on her own and joined the local Ramity South Bowling Club almost 30 years ago. Since then, she's been a player, a club champion several times in novice singles and triples, was the club's president for a time, and until this week, was the club's patron. She thoroughly enjoyed this long association, made many firm, long-standing and supportive friends, many of whom are here with us today. Greta was a founding member of Probus in 1965, and while able, enjoyed many social occasions. A personal highlight of Mum and Dad's lives were their many trips to Honolulu. Not one for travelling far, Dad was, however, able to coax Mum on a trip there in the mid-70s. And they loved it so much they went back for the next 18 or so years. They loved the warmth away from a Kapiti winter and especially enjoyed meeting and becoming firm friends with other like-minded souls from throughout New Zealand and other parts of the world. It was like a reunion there each year. Sally and I have been fortunate to have visited Honolulu during several of these visits, and have many fond memories of our times there. I guess our lasting picture is of them walking to the beach with towels and chairs, ready for a stint in the sun. Leaving home of over 50 years in Poplar Avenue was difficult for Mum, but with Sally's help, she quickly established a comfortable home in Seven Oaks Village. Sally, thank you for being there with and for Mum these past years. And Nick, thank you for being so supportive of Sally and Mum since you came into Sally's life. Again, Mum established a network of new friends to intertwine with her old and became involved in several of the village's activities. Two that spring to my mind are cooking lessons run by June and the Petanque group. In fact, I filled in for Mum in the weekly games this last Thursday, and we ladies just pipped them in. She's keeping an eye on us already. Greta was a very independent person and was determined to remain so for as long as possible. However, after becoming steadily weaker, she transferred to Somerset, where she was looked after by a very caring and supportive group of people, whom she grew very fond of, and I believe them of her. Thank you for the care and dignity you gave her during those last days. Over the years, Ross and Jen, who is with us today, and their children Anna and Tony, have visited often and have collected a range of precious memories of their times with Greta, not least of which was of her chocolate mousse. The memories of Sue and Bruce, both here today, stretch way back. In fact, Sue was reminiscing last night about how excited she was when Sally was born, to balance out against we two boys. My family, Vivian, and our children Pip, Charlotte and Logan, have also grown up overseas, and we visited often, and we're fortunate to have been here 2 weeks ago for a few days. We were able to take Mum home for a few hours where we all reminisced over her big box of precious photos, but unfortunately they can't be here today. Well, Mum, there has been much to reflect on. Thank you for being such a huge part of the lives of Sally and I, and you have touched upon the lives of many, many others, many of whom are here today to say farewell to you, Greta, Auntie Greta, Grandy, and Mum. We all love you.
Thank you, Lee. I know how nervous you were about that when you thought of it. You've done it so impressively well. Thank you. The service sheet says other tributes, but I think the tribute is in you being here, and the family decided that I'd leave it to Lee to produce the words. The rest of you pay your tribute by your presence, and there'll be plenty of time for conversation and sharing after the service. So thank you very much. Now, what have you done with my service? Here we are. Joan is going to say something.
Well, I will.
Oh, good, okay.
I don't think I need that.
There you go.
I think I'll be able to speak up enough for you all to hear me, I hope. No? There's a hand up. I better go here. Well, you've already heard that I'm the mother-in-law. But apart from that, my first husband's family, the Ransoms, went back to the early 1900s with the Dutton family. And my first memory of Greta was, I think, in 1951, or perhaps the very beginning of 1952, when my husband Colin and I were down here seeing the Ransoms, and we were, of course, expected to go around and see Herbie and Maud, your grandparents, and we did, and they were absolutely agog with some news. They didn't reveal it to us because they knew we were going down to see Roy, where he lived, and had a dear little hut on the site in Poplar Avenue. And we went down there to see Roy, and there was this very elegant lady, and of course that's who it was. And he had managed to snavel her. He was engaged to her. And everyone was very happy about it. The following year, I think we came down because they'd built the house. it was a very interesting house. It was quite avant-garde for that time. And Greta was so proud of it and took us around to have a look at things. My greatest memory was going into a spare bedroom in which they had built in a couple of beds with drawers underneath. And that was quite revolutionary for 1952 or something. When were you born, Lee? 54. Must have been very, very early in 1954 we were there, because she opened the drawer proudly of this divan bed and shut it with an enormous crunch, nearly incarcerating her fingers, because it was full of baby clothes. And there he is there. And so we didn't see an awful lot of them because we went to live in Auckland, but of course we had that family connection and we kept very close touch. But before I finally leave, I must tell you about the palm tree. I was fortunate in that I went in and out of Hawaii to nursing conferences. And of course, Roy and Greta would be there. And the bane of Greta's existence when they were in Hawaii was to get down to the beach and find some other person sitting under her palm tree. And she had a specific palm tree. It was just in front of the Sheraton that we call the Pink Palace. And she ensconced herself there and surveyed everything. We had lots of fun there, and we remember her greatly. And the other thing I just want to say, mainly to you two sitting in the front here, is that she said to me once, because I was a career person and a mother, much to my family's annoyance, whereas Greta was with her children all the time. And Greta said to me several times over the years, I don't know whether I've really achieved the things that I should have. And I said to her, what on earth do you mean? She said, well, you know, you've got a career. And I said, look, you have been what is rare, it was becoming rare, a really good mother. She was the sort of mother that always had something in the biscuit tins. And that counted for so much and made my family remarkably jealous of that. Farewell, Greta.
Thank you, Jane. Well, now, in a time for meditation and memory, let's think about Greta and all she was to you who knew and loved her. And our meditation will be accompanied by photos from her life and the Malvina Major singing O Holy Night.
Thank you.
Let us join together in a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, great spirit of the universe, giver of life and energy to all that lives, may your gentle breath rest upon us today as we say goodbye to Greta. We thank you for the gift of her life and all that she was to us as our mother, our grandmother, our sister and our friend. And we are aware that death is an experience for us which is not the same for Greta as she has moved into its mystery. And so we release her to you, that she may become part of all swift and beautiful things forever. May her spirit live on in those who loved her, and her memory ever inspire them to true living and to warm and loving relationships. Amen. I understand the garden was legendary. So in memory of one who loved her garden. The rays of light filtered through the sentinels of trees this morning. I sat in the garden and contemplated. The serenity and beauty of my feelings and surroundings completely captivated me. I thought of you. I discovered you tucked away in the shadows of the trees, then rediscovered you in the smiles of the flowers as the sun penetrated the petals, in the rhythm of the leaves falling in the garden, in the freedom of the birds as they fly searching as you do. I'm very happy to have found you. Now, you will never leave me, for I will always find you in the beauty of life. Her heart was woven of human joys and cares, washed marvelously with sorrow, swift to mirth. The years had given her kindness. Dawn was hers, and sunset, and the colours of the earth. She had seen movement and heard music, known slumber and waking, loved, gone proudly friended, felt the quick stir of wonder, sat alone, touched flowers and furs and cheeks. All this has ended. When I am gone, release me, let me go. I have so many things to see and do. You must not tie yourself to me with tears. Be happy that we had so many years. I gave you my love. You can only guess at how much you gave me in happiness. I thank you for the love you each have shown, but now it's time I travelled on alone. So grieve a while for me, if grieve you must, then let your grief be comforted by trust. It's only for a while that we must part, so bless the memories within your heart. I will not be far away, for life goes on, so if you need me, call, and I will come. Though you cannot see or touch me, I will be near. And if you listen with your heart, you will hear all of my love around you, soft and clear. Now will you please stand for the committal. We fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are not seen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. And since the earthly life of Greta Irwin Dutton has come to its end, we commit her body to be cremated, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. We are glad she lived among us. Her life we honour, her memory we cherish. Amen.